Ladies and gentlemen, back again with another episode of the Mush Squad podcast, episode 15. My name is Joe Mack. This is JG 12. How we doing, my man? How was your week?
Yo. Week was pretty good.
Let's break down the big sporting event from last week. That was Super Bowl 56. As we all know by this point, Rams beat the Bengals 23-20. The Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis are the now Super Bowl champs. Run down that last drive for me, 12. You were a high school quarterback, a college receiver slash D-back, played football on both sides of the ball most of your life. Tell me what it took and 15 plays, 79 yards on that last drive for the Rams. Stafford and Cooper Kupp kind of just have that telekinetic connection of sorts. Explain what that's like when you know you have that connection and you know you just got to get shit done.
Well, first and foremost, Stafford threw the two interceptions even before that last drive. So for him to kind of step up to the occasion, score a touchdown when they needed to, and I'm pretty sure, I think I posted a couple times on the Instagram where Stafford does the no-look pass on the third down to Cooper Kupp, and it's an absolute dime. I mean, you have chemistry with the receiver like that. It's sometimes virtually impossible to defend that because you already know where he's going to be. You already know before he even breaks out of his route who he's going to throw to. And, I mean, I hate to be that guy, but I think it was a little controversy once they started getting down towards the end zone where it looked like the Bengals were going to stop them, and then they threw a couple flags. I don't think the Logan Wilson, when he knocked the ball away from Cooper Kupp, I don't think that was a flag. The other one was a flag, but if they would have let that one rock, Logan Wilson would have knocked the ball down. They would have had 4th and 8. I think from the 8-yard line, 4th and goal from the 8-yard line. And then it would have been something to see because they would have had to go for it. And who knows what could have happened. But kudos to Stafford. Kudos to the Rams offense getting that touchdown when they really needed to and eventually being Super Bowl champions just because of that score.
Yeah, and you could say the same. The refs were, whether you want to call it inconsistent or lackadaisical, and then started calling things. You had that one play on Jalen Ramsey, clearly got face masked, but they didn't call it. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. As a whole, listen to these numbers. So this is Cooper Kupp's regular season and postseason combined stats. A slight 178 receptions, most ever all time in a season, including playoff games. 2,425 yards, most ever all time, including postseason games, and 24 touchdowns, only second to, I think, Randy Moss the year he was with the Patriots. Yeah. He had 21 and then scored 3 or 4 in the postseason. Talk about the season Kupp had. Talk about the season that offense had.
I mean, Kupp has been the best player in the league, hands down, bar none. That's why I even got into a kind of a discussion that maybe they should wait a little bit to give out the MVP towards like the end of the Super Bowl and all of this and take into consideration the playoff runs that some of these guys have. Because, yeah, without a doubt, I mean, Aaron Rodgers deserved the MVP, but look what happened. First round exit. Our first game in the playoff exit. Now you look at Cooper Kupp, who took what he dominated during the regular season, then he dominated in the postseason, and he dominated in the Super Bowl. So, hands down, I think now Cooper Kupp should have been the MVP of the
most valuable player to that team.
And look where they ended up, Super Bowl champions. So,
and, you know, I think Odell Beckham will give Odell his flowers again. We did that last week. In the lead up to the Super Bowl, first half had a few receptions, 52 yards, had the first touchdown of the game. You called that Odell first score. But, you know, unfortunately has that knee injury. It does look like he did tear the ACL. Yeah. But just to have literally Robert Woods out for the season, Tyler Higbee out for the Super Bowl, Odell goes down in the second quarter, it leaves Matt Stafford with just Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
And for Cooper Kupp to still put up 8 receptions, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns after Odell tears his knee up again, after there's no Robert Woods, after there's no Tyler Higbee, Van Jefferson was virtually a no-show for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With all the attention on Cooper Kupp, there is no doubt in my mind he lived up to the hype and did everything he needed to. And the Los Angeles Rams are the Super Bowl champs because of the Super Bowl MVP, Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You had some other great performances. Obviously, Joe Burrow, 22 of 33, 261 and a touchdown. Joe Mixon also had a passing touchdown. I don't know if it was you or Parag that might have mentioned passing attempters 2.5 over. It hit. Which is pretty cool. Mixon had 15 carries for 72 yards. No real run game either side of the ball. I thought Cam Akers would have had a good game and hit his overs. I think he had 11 carries for 20 yards. He did absolutely jack shit. But again, the shining light of this team, and obviously Cooper Kupp is on one end of that spectrum. But the other end of that spectrum, we talked about it ad nauseum last week, is this Rams defense led by that front defensive line, Von Miller and Aaron Donald. They had 7 sacks of Joe Burrow, which is a Super Bowl record. No other quarterback has ever been sacked 7 times. I think Joe Burrow was sacked 20 times this postseason across 4 games. So it's 5 sacks a game. But Aaron Donald, who I think, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp had the game-winning touchdown, had 2 touchdowns. Aaron Donald, 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. And when the game was on the line at the end of the game, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, who comes up with the plays? Aaron bleeping Donald. What can you say about this guy?
I mean, you could argue that he could have very well been the MVP of the game, because it was kind of like anytime Joe Burrow and the Bengals needed a score to maybe put the game away or to battle back or scored and put the momentum in their favor, it was like he was running for his life and he was getting sacked. And it's such a shame because they made it, like you said, he sacked them, what, 20 times in the postseason, and they still made it to the freaking Super Bowl. So you know damn well what the hell they need to work on in the freaking offseason is freaking protecting that quarterback.
They got the cap space.
And even so, they didn't double. I think they should have doubled Aaron Donald a hell of a lot more and kind of left Von Miller by himself on an island. Because I think that way you're kind of forcing Von Miller from the outside instead of the inside out. So I feel like they were
damned if you do, damned if you don't. They're both pro caliber defensive line.
You should have just had an extra blocker the whole time in blocking somebody or for help. They were blocking with 5 people way too much towards the end of the game, because I think they kind of started feeling themselves in the beginning of the game when they were protecting nicely. But then second half was a whole different story. Fourth quarter was a ridiculous different story. And it was kind of like I said, whenever the Bengals needed a play, they couldn't get it done because they couldn't protect Joe Burrow.
Yeah. You need to upgrade that offensive line. And I think with the combination of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, the rest of that team, Cincinnati could be, you know, a destination for free agents this year. What are they looking for? They need to produce more offensive line. They need to produce protection. They need to protect their potentially down the line $500 million asset in Joe Burrow. If that's what Patrick Mahomes is getting, half a billy, that's something that they're going to have to pay him eventually, Joe Burrow, down the line. He's on a rookie deal still. He's going to be in year 3 next year. You got to lock your franchise quarterback up, and you got to pay him hefty. So you got to protect him. You have this window. Everybody's talking about the window of opportunity. The Rams window was this year. They're looking to potentially run it back if everybody comes back. Obviously, Andrew Whitworth is going to be retiring. But Aaron Donald, whether it was the tequila talking or whether it was really actually him, said in the parade he wants to run it back next year. There were rumors about him walking away, stepping away at age 30 because of the wear and tear that a defensive lineman takes during the NFL season. But I don't see why the Rams couldn't try to run it back if their window's open. And the Bengals' window really wasn't even supposed to start this year.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, you've been saying it since the start of time that they're all under 25 years and this nucleus of this offense is going to be together for the next 8 to 10 years. So their window might not even have opened yet. They just lucked out this year. But you got to take advantage of what you can take advantage of. And you're coming off a hot team, a hot season. You just re-signed your coach through 2027. Obviously, you're going to have to eventually pay Joe. But you have the cap space this year, $50, $60 million. Make it worthwhile and keep Joe Burrow on his feet.
Absolutely.
That's what you got to do. Two words that all Bengals fans are having nightmares over right now, all you're hearing in the media, Andrew Luck.
Exactly what I was going to say.
He left the game before he ever hit his prime because of the wear and tear and the beatdown he was taking on a regular basis. You don't want Joe. I'm a football fan first and foremost. Having Joe Burrow healthy makes for a better football season. You got to protect Joe Burrow.
No, absolutely. I was going to touch on that where you need to spend your money. You need to draft where it's needed and not make the mistake that the Colts made with Andrew Luck, where Andrew Luck was running for his life most of the time and forced him to retire at a younger age because they couldn't protect him.
Yep. That wraps up Super Bowl 56. Sad, John. I'm sad.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so bittersweet. So bittersweet.
But with the end of a football season starts the beginning of mock draft season. Todd McShay has updated his mock draft for the upcoming NFL draft. I believe it's in the middle of April or end of April. I'm going to run through the top 10. I actually have 11 here because 11 is the first quarterback off the board. Jacksonville taking Evan Neal. Like we've been saying for the last 5 minutes, protect your asset. So take the big offensive tackle out of Alabama to protect Trevor Lawrence. Detroit, I like this a lot for Detroit. Why? Because he's a guy from Michigan. The Michigan guy stays home. Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, Michigan. Apparently, two in this mock by McShay to the Detroit Lions. Houston taking safety Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame. He's a ball hawk. He's a baller. Jets with their first pick taking the offensive tackle out of NC State. Ikem Ekwonu, I believe.
I was waiting for that.
Not the best at that, but a big, big dude to protect their asset, Zach Wilson. There's like a trend. I don't know if you see this trend for
hey, these. You know, teams. They're safe picks, and there's never anything wrong with going with the less sexy pick because those are the guys that are gonna last forever. The DNs, the tackles, the guards, they're going to last 10 to 15 years, and they're going to be the one guys that you want to base your franchise around.
Speaking of DNs, fifth overall Giants, the draft has Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, the defensive end, going to the Giants. Cornerback Ahmed Gardner, a.k.a. Sauce Gardner, going to Carolina as a cornerback out of Cincinnati. Giants taking Charles Cross, another offensive tackle out of Mississippi State. Atlanta taking Drake London, the wide receiver, the big wide receiver out of USC. USC, essentially wide receiver U over the last few decades. Denver taking Devin Lloyd, inside linebacker out of Utah. So the Utah guy stays in the Northwest area. Derek Stingley Jr., quarterback out of LSU, going to the Jets at 10. And then the first quarterback off the board out of Pittsburgh to the Washington Commanders, Kenny Pickett. Thoughts on Pickett being the first QB off the board?
I mean, I think it's well-deserved. We seen him last year during the college season. He absolutely tore up the defenses, especially in a competitive conference like the ACC. A lot of people are giving this draft class or the quarterback draft class coming in not so much respect. However, if you look back on last year's quarterback draft class, you can argue that they had all the hype in the world. And what you only had really Mac Jones was the best one of them all. And he was the only one that had a somewhat decent season. Everybody else was god awful.
Or so didn't even play like Trey Lance.
Exactly. So it's kind of like maybe these guys are going to come in and they're going to get molded a little more and they're not going to get rushed into being a starter, and that maybe these guys in this draft class could potentially be better than last year's draft class just because there's not as much hype going into the draft.
I also like Pickett to Washington because, first off, he's not like a one and done type guy. He was in Pittsburgh. He played 3 or 4 years. So he's got a, you know, he's got a good acumen for football. Plus Washington has Taylor Heinicke right now, who under no circumstances is one of the best top 10, 15 quarterbacks in the league. But I like what he's been saying. He was doing a lot of press during Super Bowl week. All people were asking was thoughts on Washington drafting a quarterback. And all he was saying is, I hope they do, because the competition's going to make me hungrier and make me better.
Exactly. And that's what you hear.
And you light a fire under Heinicke's ass. Maybe you let him start for most of the season and have Kenny Pickett learn behind him and then eventually be that quarterback to take over. It worked in Green Bay with Rodgers behind Favre. Why don't other teams actually do that? You know what
it
I mean?
Also, it worked. It worked in Kansas City with Mahomes behind Alex Smith. Years at first. Yep. And you know, in today's football world and today's society, you would think like Taylor Heinicke would hear that and request a trade or be like, nah, that's not for me. I'm the starter. Screw you guys. Trade me. But no, hey, I'd love a competitor. Championships are based on competition and where do you compete the most in practice. So that's a great attitude to have. I love it.
I love it too. That kind of wraps up our football talk for the time. We'll get to some more draft talk. You have the USFL starting in less than 2 months. So the draft, the lottery, the jersey release was today. They did all their jerseys. So we'll touch on it once the draft comes around if we have any recognized names. But again, we appreciate you all rocking with us through football season. I'll jump ahead real quick to show you for the Mush Squad bet of the week. Finished football season 18-13 plus 277. So we've made money. Hopefully you made money with us. And that's all that matters. If you're up $1 more than you were before you listened to us, we did our job. So with the end of football season brings our focus to another big sport. Hashtag this league, the NBA. Kind of winding down this first half, although we are more than 60% through the games at least. But teams are back in action following the trade deadline. We know the big Harden and Simmons trade. We talked about all the other big trades that happened last week during the deadline. But John, I'm going to run through the conference standings as of yesterday, where the teams are 1 through 10, because we have that play-in. Let me know who you think one or two contenders and one or two pretenders from each conference, who you think can actually contend and who you think will actually are just pretenders.
Cool. All right. Yep.
On the Eastern Conference, you have the Heat in first, 37-21, Bulls also 37-21, Bucks 36-23, Cavs in the four seed, 35-23, 76ers in the five, Celtics in the six, Raptors in the seven, the Nets all the way down at eighth, 30-27. Big win over the Knicks yesterday. Hornets in the nine seed, 29-30, and the Hawks rounding out that top 10 for the play-in, 27-30. John, in the Eastern Conference, give me a contender and why.
Nobody's talking about them, but I really like the Miami Heat. As a team, as a whole team, you bring in Lowry as a starting point guard. He has veteran leadership. He's won an NBA championship with the Toronto Raptors. You put him next to Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. I saw that they just activated Victor Oladipo to start rehabbing with the G League team. So they're a very deep team, and I think they're going to be a very tough out. And I could pencil them into the Eastern Conference Finals already. Wow. I would say them and the Bulls are probably the most slept on teams in the East right now, because I put the Bulls right up there as being a contender too.
Can we talk about the run DeMar DeRozan is on right now?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's the first person to do it since Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. I think it's six straight games of 35 points or more where he's hitting 50% or more from his field goal and 90% from free throw. He is just the king of the mid-range jumper.
Modern-day Rip Hamilton.
The modern-day Rip Hamilton. And it's crazy because, I mean, it eventually worked out for the Raptors, but when you traded him to the Spurs, the Raptors gave up on this kid they drafted.
Yeah.
And the Spurs, he didn't do anything spectacular down in San Antonio. He was just an average NBA player. And now he's born again. He's with Chicago. That Chicago nucleus, man, if they all come back healthy, you have Patrick Williams going to be coming back. You have Kobe White off the bench. This team is scary, Chicago. So, yeah, I'm right there with you with both of them as the contenders. What are your thoughts on, and before you give me any pretenders out of the Eastern Conference, maybe it might parlay into this question.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on the Nets? Just finished 11-game losing streak, 1-2 in a row. They are, yesterday, we kind of hinted at it, in MSG versus the Knicks, down 28, no Durant, no Simmons, no Kyrie, led by a rookie, and win the game, come back from 28 down. Second win in a row, kind of building momentum, going into the All-Star break. They're going to get all their parts back. Thoughts on the Nets?
I mean, it's so hard to, like, kind of see what they are altogether, especially this season not playing altogether. But I think once KD comes back, and even just with KD and Ben Simmons playing, and now if you got Cam Thomas could keep coming off the bench, scoring 15 and 20 a game, it sucks that Kyrie can only play in the away games. Hopefully New York can change something like that. I saw Adam Silver was quoted as, visiting team players that aren't vaccinated can come in to play in Brooklyn, but the Brooklyn players can't play in their own home arena. Doesn't really make too much sense. So Adam Silver, I think he could say something with that, and maybe playoff time comes, they kind of tweak it so Kyrie could actually play throughout the whole playoffs without missing the games. But like you said, they lost 11 in a row. They've dropped all the way down to the 8 seed. Don't get me wrong. Whoever they play in the playoffs, they could beat.
Right.
But the deeper teams like the Bulls and the Heat, where you got scoring on all levels, you got scoring off the bench, that's going to be really tough for them to beat them. But if they come back and they get hot and they win the 10 in a row, and they're proving to everybody that they mesh real well together, and Kyrie could play at home, I think they're going to be the team to beat in the playoffs, period.
We'll see. We'll see. So, John, we talked contenders in the Eastern Conference. Give me one or two pretenders. We mentioned the Heat and Bulls as contenders. I kind of hinted at, I still like the Nets as a contender. A lot of other names on this top 10 list. Who you have as a pretender?
I think that where the Cavs sit right now, they're the 4 seed at 35 and 23. I think they're having a hell of a season. They're a great team. They have a great young core, Garland, Mobley, and
Sexton.
Yeah, Sexton.
Jared Allen.
They're a little too young to, I think, really get go far in the playoffs, because you need experience. And Garland made the All-Star team, but I think it was a little bit of home cooking just so Cleveland had somebody represent them. But I think, yeah, right now they're the 3 seed in the East. I could see the Nets jumping them, maybe even the Sixers. Sixers are 1 game behind them in the 5th seed. So I think the Sixers could jump them. Nets could potentially jump them. And I could see them being a first-round exit in the playoffs.
All right. Let's talk to the Western Conference now. Run it down. Suns, first seed, 47 and 10. Warriors 42-16 for the longest time. Those were, it was a two horse race. And then those Grizzlies caught fire, 3 seed 41-18, Jazz in the 4, Mavericks in the 5, Nuggets at the 6, Timberwolves 7, Clippers at the 8, your Los Angeles Lakers at the 9 seed, and the Trailblazers in the 10. So same idea, John, give me one or two contenders and one or two pretenders in the Western Conference.
Honestly, like you said, there's only two teams in the West that should even be talked about, and that's the Suns and the Warriors. They've been the two best teams in the NBA all season. Yep. I think I would, right now, I would take the Suns over the Warriors just because Chris Paul and just their depth that they have scoring the ball is ridiculous. The amount of scoring that they could get on any night from the guards, from Ayton, from the bench. They're firing on all cylinders. I don't think the Warriors are too far off of, from them, but either one of them is going to represent the West in the freaking NBA Finals. I'm pretty sure you could pencil that in.
I like that. I do really like the Grizzlies. John Morant, if Joel Embiid didn't exist in the NBA right now, John Morant is your MVP. Without a doubt. But again, I don't think the Memphis Grizzlies can keep up with these Suns or the Warriors. So it's a two-horse race, in my opinion.
And I think that'll lead me into my pretenders. Grizzlies are having a crazy good year. I think they went on a 12-game winning streak at one point. And like you said, John Morant, first-time NBA All-Star starting. And they actually haven't even been playing with Dylan Brooks, who's probably their second-best player on the team.
Right.
And Desmond Bane, they have a second-year, really good second-year player. Brandon Clark, really good third-year player. Steven Adams, veteran leadership and big man down low. But like you said, they definitely can't keep up with a team like the Warriors or the Suns. So they're the 3 seed right now. They could probably win first round of the playoffs, but I can't see them going anywhere past that.
Agreed. Let's talk All-Star Weekend. A lot of festivities going on All-Star Weekend, different challenges, different contests going on. We'll pick some winners, we'll do some predictions, and then we'll jump into our segments. Friday night, so that's tomorrow night, the 18th, you have the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game, 7 p.m. on ESPN. I don't care about it. I don't care. You have the Rising Stars Challenge also, which is a lot of, I think it's rookies, sophomores kind of thing still.
They stopped doing the world one, I think.
Four teams, four coaches. You have Rick Barry, Gary Payton, Isaiah Thomas, James Worthy. Pretty sure the way they're doing it is one team plays, the team one plays team two, team three plays team four. They do a half each. And then whoever wins, those two teams play each other for another half, something along those lines. A lot of rookies, a lot of young guns. I'll tune in for that one just because it'll probably be something like a 176 to 160. Yeah.
Plus, there's a lot of young talent. Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green.
Oh, yeah.
The future of the NBA is bright.
Saturday night is the main event, the All-Star Challenge, the All-Star Saturday night, all on TNT starting at 8 p.m. You have the Skills Challenge. They did it a little differently. Usually it's like a player representing the Phoenix Suns, a player representing the Phoenix Mercury, a player from the Hall of Fame for Phoenix Suns. So it's like Chris Paul, Dan Marley, and whoever's on the Mercury. Remember how they used to do it?
I thought thought that was pretty cool.
Now they're doing it. There's three different teams for the challenge, which I think is actually pretty cool. You have Team Antetokounmpo, so it's the three Greek freak brothers, which is cool. Team Cavs, because it's in Cleveland, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley representing the Cavs. And then Team Rooks, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, and Josh Giddey. Shout out Josh Giddey, 19 years old, three consecutive triple doubles, bro.
Doing the damn thing.
So you got three teams there for the Skills Challenge. I think it's like run up and down the court with the passes, a layup, bounce pass, chest pass, half court shot. You got the Greek Freak brothers, you got the Cavaliers, and you got the rookies. Who you taking in this?
Give me the rookies. I'm definitely not rooting for the Greek Freak brothers.
Yeah.
I think Jared Allen's going to slow those big guys up, and I think the rookies got more agile guys going in this one, so give me them.
I like the rookies, too. I'm taking the rookies on this one, too. Three-point contest follows that. You have 8 competitors in the three-point contest. Desmond Bain, Luke Kennard, Zach LaVine, CJ McCollum, Patty Mills, Karl Anthony Towns, Fred VanVleet and Trey Young representing the Atlanta Hawks in the three-point contest. Who you got in the three-point contest?
I'm going to take Luke Kennard in the three-point.
Luke Kennard, the white boy from?
Duke.
From Duke.
He's a career 41% from three. He only averages about 8 to 10 points a game. But I feel like his motion, and he doesn't really exert himself so much when he does shoot, and that actually makes you last longer in these type of competitions when you could be shooting about 60 to 70 jumpers during them. So he's my guy, and I'm going to rock with him.
Cool. For the three-point contest, I am taking – I'm going to pull a Charles Barkley here. I'm going to pull a what's his name? Kenny Smith. I'm taking Patty Mills.
Okay.
But then I'm also taking Fred VanVleet. Because those are both my guys.
All right.
I think one of those two will win. But don't sleep on Karl Anthony Towns, bro. The seven footer, man. I was just going to
say, what the hell is he doing in this? What are
you doing in this?
He's trying to, like, oh, big man can shoot threes too. Like, man, he's going to get blown out in the first round.
He out. Slam dunk contest. Cole Anthony, Juan Toscano-Anderson from the Warriors, Jalen Green, and Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin was in it last year. I'm excited to watch Jalen Green fly. I'll tell you that. I think all four of these guys can yam it big time. Cole Anthony gets up too. Don't get me wrong, but I want to see Jalen Green fly, bro.
And I think I've been following Jalen Green for a while, since like his freshman year in high school in Southern California. And he's very Kobe-esque, I'll say. I won't compare him completely to Kobe. He's averaging like 14 points a game and like 5 assists per game. But like you said, he can get up there. I think he's only 6'5", so that already gives him an advantage because he's right there in the middle of where like it looks good when he dunks. And even Cole Anthony is only like 6'3", 6'4", and he can definitely get up there. Obi Toppin, it's always like those tall guys.
Yeah. We saw it last year.
It doesn't really look good when they dunk.
Yeah, I'm going Jalen Green. Jalen Green is my pick.
I'm going Jalen Green, but I'm hoping for a finals of Jalen Green versus Cole Anthony.
Yep.
Because I think that would be freaking bananas.
That'd be good. And then on Sunday, you have the 71st annual All-Star Game. Team Durant versus Team LeBron. I'll run down the rosters real quick. A lot of changes because Durant is not playing. You have Draymond Green not playing. And then there was one other that just got updated for Darius Garland got added for somebody. I don't remember who. But Durant's team, you have Joel Embiid, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, Trae Young, Andrew Wiggins as your starters. D-Book, Karl Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine, Deontay Murray, Chris Middleton, LaMelo Ball, and Rudy Gobert off the bench. For Team LeBron, you have LeBron, Giannis, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Jokic, which is like a crazy starting five.
Oh, my God.
Luka Doncic, Darry Garland, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, Fred VanVleet, and James Harden, who will not be playing. That's who Darius Garland got added for, was for James Harden. What I'm excited to see, obviously, it's going to be a dunk contest. It's going to be 3 points everywhere. But to see teammates like D-Book and Chris Paul on opposite teams, I'd love to see them like go one-on-one. Obviously, LeBron tries to make All-Star Weekend about himself at all times.
At least you get it.
But, you know, seeing people who actually deserve it, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, LeBron going back to Cleveland is kind of going to be a unique and interesting dynamic. But Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul is my guy. He's been in the league for 174 years. Another all-star game for him because it's well-deserved. It's not just a popularity vote for this guy. Excited. Who do you have, Durant or LeBron? Team Durant, Team LeBron.
I mean, I looked up the spread before we went on with this, and I was like, because I was looking over these rosters, and I'm like, how did they let Team LeBron get all this talent on his freaking team? The spread is only Team LeBron minus 6.5. I think it should be minus 12.5.
Did you get an over-under on this? It's got to be 300.
I did not get the over-under on it. But it's, like I said, LeBron is stacked and loaded. And I feel like it's a little messed up that Durant got all the players that are kind of replacing other players. So, yeah.
Hey, it is what it is. I'm happy LaMelo made it. LaMelo is having a hell of a year.
Well-deserved. Over under is 320.5.
The 320.5, you're looking at 160, 150, 170, 160. That's crazy. All right. Well, that'll wrap up our NBA talk. Coming up, Stump 12. As always, we're here with our next segment, Stump 12. And John, it's not football season no more.
I was just thinking, this is where it's gonna I'm gonna get messed up.
It's basketball season now, so I'm gonna pick a random card, pull it right out the front. Let's see what we got. I got faith in you, my brother.
All right.
All three questions are well within your wheelhouse. Legit, right off the card, word for word. Ready?
All right.
Question one, the easy question on this card. How many points did Kobe Bryant score in his final NBA game before retiring at the end of the 2015-16 season?
60.
60. It is 60. Yes, sir. One for one. What player? This is the second question now. What player did the Portland Trailblazers pass up on when they had the first overall pick in 2007 NBA draft? So there were two big names coming out of college that year. Portland had the one, and they passed on this player to draft somebody else. Who did they pass on?
Is it multiple choice?
It is multiple choice. Steph Curry, Chris Bosh, Kevin Durant, Dwayne Wade. So they had 2007. They had the one pick, the first pick. Second pick was the Seattle Supersonics.
I was thinking Kevin Durant, but I'm not good with the years. But obviously, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh they got drafted earlier.
Who did they draft instead of Kevin Durant?
Greg Oden, I think.
Greg Oden. Good call. You get redemption on that one. All right, last question. Which college basketball team holds the record for the longest winning streak at 111 consecutive wins? UCLA men's, Duke men's, UConn women's, or Penn State women's?
Has to be UConn women's, right?
It is the UConn women. They had four consecutive undefeated seasons, dude. Imagine being a freshman going to that program and not losing.
Never again. Losing. That's crazy.
I want to say Brianna Stewart went to four national championships, winning three of them. And she had two undefeated seasons. Imagine that shit. three rings, two undefeated seasons. The only year they lost, I was, I think, Brittany Griner to Baylor with Baylor.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Like, their wins weren't even like 5-point wins, 10-point wins. Like, they're completely blowing out the competition.
Blowing out competition. It's unfair. It's the most unfair program in the world. What they got. And like Paige Buecher's there now. She was hurt all year. They're still having a good year.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. 3 for 3 NBA.
Ooh.
Undefeated in football season. 1-0 so far in college in basketball.
Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going.
Next segment. This is a good one. Kind of talked about All-Star weekend competitions. Patrick Ramsey, Random Athlete of the Week, as always, brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. John, the shirts are on the way from Ooh. Off the Wall Donuts. So when we go Off the Wall Donuts, we'll have sweatshirts on. When we go Off the Wall Donuts, we rip the sweatshirts off and we'll show the donut logo. How you doing? This week's Patrick Ramsey, Random Athletes of the Week, Slam Dunk Contest participants. They could have won. They might not have won. It doesn't make a difference. Athletes, basketball players who've competed in the Slam Dunk Contest. John, I got three names for you. What do you got for me?
I got three as well. Hopefully we didn't double up.
Best luck to you, my friend. How about you go first?
I was hoping you'd say that.
All right, here we go.
All right. My guy was a 2011 slam dunk finalist, eventually losing to Blake Griffin when he dunked over IKEA. His best dunk was when he dunked two balls in two separate hoops and then dunked three balls in one hoop. He is a Shaqting a full regular. He was a 2008 draft pick by the Wizards. He's a three-time NBA champion. Two with the Warriors, one with the Lakers. You got it?
Yep. It is JaVale McGee.
Yes, yes.
He My got robbed. Guy.
He should have won. He got robbed.
JaVale McGee. Fun fact about JaVale McGee, both his parents played professional basketball.
Yep.
His dad was in the NBA. Mom was in the WNBA. I think she was in the Olympics, too, which is pretty cool. Yeah, JaVale McGee, Shaqed in a fool always. But, hey, listen, man, three rings.
And he's still playing. He's still playing. He's the son, so it could be another one, potentially.
Could be another one. All right. Actually, I lied. I got four names, but because I think one of them will double up on, but we'll see in a moment.
I don't think so.
This current NBA player is a two-time slam dunk contest participant, and he has won it one time. He was drafted in the first round, 8th overall by the Toronto Raptors in 2012. And has played for the Raptors and his current team, the Orlando Magic. He won the slam dunk contest in his second year in the league, 2013, but then he lost in 2014 to your boy, John Wall.
Ooh, forgot John Wall was in there.
In 2013, he beat out Gerald Green, James White, Kenneth Faried, Eric Bledsoe, and Jeremy Evans. He has a career 11.4 points per game and just under 3 rebounds per game. Who is this man?
Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross.
Very, very underrated basketball
player. Very underrated.
I'm pretty sure he scored 50 points in a game.
He did.
Once. Yeah, he's a really good basketball player.
Solid basketball player, Terrence Ross. All right, 1-1. You're up.
All right. My guy is arguably the best slam dunk contest ever, the 2000 slam dunk contest.
Okay.
Losing to Vince Carter. His best dunk was when he threw it off the bounce and double pumped and then dunked it. He was drafted 2nd overall by the Vancouver Grizzlies and then traded on draft day to the Houston Rockets. So 3-time All-Star, NBA Rookie of the Year. Shared that with Elton Brand. He played for the Rockets, Magic, and the Knicks. Go on. Did we double up with him?
No, we didn't double up, but this is my fucking guy.
I had to throw him. I was Googling freaking – I was watching the old freaking highlights of this dunk contest. I was like, yo, this one basketball was at an all-time high. The jerseys, the sweats. Shorts,
shoes. This is none other than the franchise, Steve Francis.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Okay. 2-1. Good guys here. Let's see if you could tie it up here. This former NBA player, not in the league anymore.
Ooh.
Was in the slam dunk contest twice, 2003 and 2005. Didn't win either of them. During his NBA career, he spent time with the Heat, the Mavericks, and the Knicks, but is most known not known for his time with the team that drafted him ninth overall in 2002 out of high school, the Phoenix Suns. His slam dunk contest participation was highlighted by a dunk featuring his point guard, Steve Nash, headbutting the basketball like a soccer ball to him for a slam dunk finish. Most recently, this player was a player for Hapoel Jerusalem, Fungin Sturgeons, and the Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball teams. And he's currently a player development assistant on Steve Nash's team, the Brooklyn Nets. Who is this guy?
Of Jewish descent, Amari Stoudemire.
Amari Stoudemire, you're damn right.
People
forget how balling this guy was, bro.
It's a shame injuries kind of derailed his career, but even like after the Suns years and his like first year with the Knicks, he was a stud, dude.
Bro, him and Raymond Felton were balling.
Yeah,
was before Carmelo. Before
Melo caught the tail end of that, and that Amari was that guy back.
But how about that Suns team? Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire. Was Paige on that? No, it was
Quentin Richardson,
Joe Johnson.
Yes, yeah, that team was loaded. They never won nothing, and Nash was back-to-back MVPs, but that team was legit.
All right, 2-2.
All right, here we go. My guy was in the 2015 slam dunk contest, losing to Zach LaVine. Okay. His best dunk was when he jumped over his brother, also in the NBA. He was a 2013 NBA draft pick, 22nd overall by the Brooklyn Nets. He was 2013-14 all rookie NBA first team. He has played for the Nets, the Trailblazers, the Nuggets, the Pistons, and currently the Charlotte Hornets. He has a modest 8 points per game and 6 rebounds per game career averages. That's all I have.
Stumped.
I could say one more thing, but it probably
drafted by the Nets.
By the Nets. He was one of their better players when he was there. When they were trash, he was like the one highlight they had.
The only name that's coming to mind is Brooke Lopez.
Nope.
But I'm stumped on this one. You got me on this one.
Mason Plumlee.
Mason. Ew, bro. Ew.
Dumped over his brother.
Didn't all three of them make it to the lead too? Mason.
All three of them did make it.
Miles. And who's the third?
Mason's the only one there. Marshall.
Marshall.
Marshall was on the Knicks for a little bit.
Man, fuck the Plumlees, bro. All right. So you got me on that one.
Oh, no.
So that's it. You're done, right?
I'm done.
All right. I got two left. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you one. You get it. You win. And then the other one's a bonus victory lap. If you don't get the first one, then the last one is if you get it, you win. If you don't, I win. All right?
I like that rule.
This former NBA player is a three-time slam dunk contest participant, winning his first two in 2002 and 2003 and losing in 2004 to Fred Jones. Drafted in the first round, fifth overall, to the Warriors out of Michigan State.
I already know who it is.
This shooting guard was known for his high-flying abilities. Listen to this resume, this 2 year gap he had. Ready for this? 1999 McDonald's All-American, 1999 Mr. Basketball of Michigan, 2000 NCAA champ with Michigan State. How about that? Who is your boy?
Another very underrated basketball player. He kind of made the dunk contest what it is today with all the under the legs dunks and the different variations of the under the legs dunk. Jason Richardson.
Jay Rich, bro.
He was like, when he was in the dunk contest, it was much watch TV because he could do basically any dunk and put it under his legs and dunk it.
Yep, he did it, man. He's 2-time champ, 3-time in the finals. I think he should have beat Fred Jones. I was looking back.
I think Fred Jones did some stupid thing, like he threw it up and then where he caught it and dunked it.
Yeah, like it went far back.
Yeah. He like cocked it back and then threw it down, but it really wasn't anything special.
All right, so you beat me, but I still want to give you this last guy.
Give me.
It's our boy. This former 2-time slam dunk participant and former NBA player, first round draft pick, 18th overall to the New Orleans Hornets out of Lakewood High School.
I already know.
St. Benedict's Prepped in Newark. Let me finish out the bio.
Go.
Participated in the 05 and 09 slam dunk contest, never won. 2-time NBA champ, thanks to LeBron. In 16 with the Cavs, in 2020 with the Lakers. He spent time with the Hornets, the Nuggets, the Xinjiang Golden Bulls, the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Lakers. And currently, he's a Division I golfer at North Carolina A&T, where he's trying to give the pipe to all the college girls. Who is this slam dunk contest participant?
None other than J.R. Smith, a.k.a. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. J.R. Smith.
He was another one. He could have very well won his. I think he did. He was the first one to go behind the back and then dunk it like that.
Yep.
And he was a baller, man, especially when he was younger on the Nuggets and on the Hornets, when he was actually a high flyer, he was so fun to watch.
Him, Melo, and AI on that same team. Yeah. Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin was there, too.
Nene Hilario.
Nene.
Nene.
Solid pro.
Solid.
Solid NBA player.
Solid as all hell. All right. Last segment, John. Mushquad bet of the week. I'm going to go first. I hope I'm not. What sport do you got?
Oh, no, I'm doing – I got college basketball.
I got college basketball, too. I hope we don't have the same thing because we didn't rehearse.
We're doubling up on it.
All right. Watching this team play last night, they're on fire, okay? The Rutgers men's basketball team.
Ooh, yes, give them credit. Give them credit.
Going all in this year. They're going to make the tournament. They're going to rock some brackets, I'm telling you right now. On February 20th, which I think, if I pull my calendar up, is Sunday. So this Sunday, February 20th, Rutgers is traveling to No. 5 Purdue. They're traveling to Purdue. Rutgers at Purdue. The last time they played last year, December 9th, Rutgers beat them at the buzzer, 70-68. I don't have a spread on this because I think Rutgers being a New Jersey team, I can't get a spread right now.
Well, even it's too early. That's what even I don't have a spread for my game too. My game Saturday.
So regardless, taking Rutgers money line to win straight up.
You a psycho.
They're going to beat Purdue. They're going to beat Purdue. Rutgers over Purdue. Lock it in. Hit the lock.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna get something like 8 or more points in this game, but hey, that'll be a nice payout taking a money line.
We'll see what the points look like and I'll circle back. Because if I'm getting 8, I'm taking 8. Don't get
yeah, I was about to say, bro, take those points.
We'll see what the points look like. I like Rutgers with the points at least. Maybe I'll tease the money line. John, who you got? What's your bet of the week?
My game is on Saturday at 12 p.m. I've watched this team the last couple of weeks. They have one of the most dominant big men I've ever seen in college basketball. Illinois is traveling to Michigan State. I am going to take Illinois. They're probably going to end up getting points, hopefully. If it's at the 2-4 range, I am hammering it. But we'll see. We'll, like you said, we'll circle back. We'll post about it once the actual numbers come out. But Kofi Coburn is an absolute dog down low. There's not many people in the country that could stop him. There's not many double teams in the country that can stop him. And I just don't really trust this Michigan State team. They're very inconsistent. They have a hard time scoring at times. I believe they're a little overhyped. I believe they shouldn't be ranked as high as they are. And I feel like Illinois now is kind of hitting their stride, getting into the groove before right. the conference tourney and March Madness. And like you said, we got a big guy down low that's virtually unstoppable. How can you not take them?
Exactly. I like it. I'm riding with you, Illinois, over Michigan State. Once we get the lines for the Rutgers-Purdue game for Sunday and the Illinois-Michigan State game for Saturday, we'll get that posted up on the IG. First and foremost, thank you for listening, as always. Another great podcast in the books. Social media is where it's at. At Mush Squad Podcast on Instagram. You go to that link in bio, you'll be able to find us everywhere. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us everywhere. Like and subscribe everything. Last words for LeBron. JG, take us home.
I actually have nothing really to say to LeBron this time. They beat the Utah Jazz last night by 2. Great team win. Everybody showed up. Unfortunately, this is about Anthony Davis, who got carted off the fucking court again. Bro, this guy is made out of glass, dude. We need to wrap him in bubble wrap next time he steps onto the court. I hope the injury is not serious, because I started feeling the Lakers a little too much, thinking we could go on a run in the playoffs after beating the Utah Jazz. But hell no, we can't without Anthony Davis.
Nope. Not when Russell Westbrook's your number two option. or Malik Monk. But shout out Malik Monk for what he's been doing.
Shout out Malik Monk, my guy.
JG, I appreciate you, my man. For those who don't know, I'm not going to give too much away, but my man 12 is getting married next week. So we might try something. We might do a little live in wherever we are for the wedding. But once again, appreciate you, my boy. Best of luck next week.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening, subscribing, liking. Appreciate you. We out.
Peace.